my name is Dhiru Kholia, and I'm going to talk about Dropbox security today. I'll start by introducing my co-author, Shanik. Shanik is a Polish guy with a very hard-to-say name, so I just call him Shanik. Shanik loves Python, and he's simply awesome at reversing stuff. Next, a bit about me. I'm a developer for various open-source security projects like John the Ripper, Ittercap, and Hashkill. And like everybody else, I'm on Twitter. Okay, I think this is enough as far as introductions go. Here is the agenda of my talk today. I'll start by introducing Dropbox. Then I'll briefly cover existing work related to Dropbox. Then we'll dive right into reversing Dropbox from scratch and in detail. At the end of this step, you'll have the complete source code of the Dropbox client. This reversing step is fundamental as it allowed us to discover a lot of things like how to hijack Dropbox account, how to bypass SSL, how to get around the two-factor authentication. And also, at the end, we will be able to write an open source Dropbox client. There will be a demo towards the end of this talk. Okay, what is Dropbox? Just out of curiosity, how many people here use or have used Dropbox? Okay, almost everyone. So Dropbox is the popular cloud-based file storage service with more than 175 million users. Dropbox runs almost everywhere, and most of the Dropbox clients are written mostly in Python. There is no Java involved here, thank God. So the Dropbox client is essentially a modified Python interpreter, which is running obfuscated bytecode. Dropbox being a proprietary platform, source code is not available, and there is no documentation for these clients. Due to its popularity, Dropbox has been a subject of multiple reversing attempts already. The most recent attempt was made by Florian and Nicholas in 2012. Unfortunately, their techniques were not generic enough to deal with the frequently changing bytecode encryption algorithms, which are being used by Dropbox. They keep on changing the encryption algorithms. Going back a bit, we find this very cool project called Piratech, which tries to dump the bytecode from the memory to the disk directly. Unfortunately, this technique does not work against Dropbox because the bytecode is simply not visible at the Python layer. And that is where we are operating. In short, Dropbox is somewhat challenging to reverse, and existing techniques largely fail. Okay, let's get started with reversing Dropbox the proper way. So, like I said, most of the Dropbox clients are written mostly in Python. On Windows, an open source project named py2exe is used for packaging up the sources into an executable, and the executable is called dropbox.exe. It is possible to extract the embedded Python interpreter and the bytecode from this executable using standard tools. On the Linux side, things are a bit harder for reversing. Another project, BBFreeze is used for packaging the sources, and BBFreeze uses static linking. So this makes reversing somewhat harder. I'll describe how we get around this problem a bit later on. Okay, one of the basic steps involved in reversing process is unpacking the application. Fortunately, unpacking Dropbox is trivial, and you can use the standard zip command or the code shown on the screen, which does the same thing. So if you don't have the zip command, use this code. Once you have extracted the bytecode out of the executable, you'll find that it contains no human readable strings. That implies that some form of obfuscation or encryption is being used by the Dropbox guys to protect their bytecode. So in order to understand this obfuscation, we analyzed the extracted DLL file in IDAPRO, and soon enough we found that one of the unmarshalling functions had been passed in order to decrypt the encrypted bytecode during the loading or import process. So this patched unmarshalling function calls a separate decryption function within the Python DLL. So in order to get the decryption for free, we hit upon the idea of calling this decryption function directly from the outside the DLL to do the decryption for us. So that means we are simply stealing the decryption function. So this also implies that there is no need at all to analyze the frequently changing bytecode encryption algorithm. We just bypass this obfuscation step completely. Okay, once the decryption is complete, you can see the expected human readable strings in the decrypted bytecode files. But these decrypted bytecode files still don't work under the standard Python interpreter. So it implies that one more layer of obfuscation or protection is being used by Dropbox. After some further analysis in IDAPRO, we found that Dropbox guys had passed the Python opcode evaluator to use different opcode values. That is, they simply use opcode shuffling. Initially, we were able to recover this opcode mapping manually, but it turned out to be somewhat time-consuming. But the good news is that we have found an automated way to recover this opcode mapping, and for details, you can see the updated paper. So the whole reversing is now automated. Coming to the Linux side, bytecode decryption is somewhat challenging because everything is statically linked into a single binary. In order to solve this problem, we hit upon the idea of loading the encrypted PYC files from the disk into the memory and then serializing them back. But in order to do this loading thing, we need to gain control over the Dropbox process itself first. And to gain control over the control flow, we simply use existing techniques, well-known techniques like LDP load and reflective DLL injection. Once we have used LDP load, we gain control over the Dropbox process and we can do whatever we want, like run new injected Python code. From this injected code, we call another unmarshalling function which loads the encrypted bytecode from the disk into the memory, and it also decrypts the bytecode in the process. So at this point, we have defeated both the bytecode encryption and the opcode shuffling as well. And now we need to serialize this fixed bytecode back to the disk. But the problem is that this bytecode stream is not visible at the Python layer at all. And also its offset is not known at the C layer. So we managed to solve this problem, and we then re-expose this raw bytecode back to the Python layer. Now, at the Python layer, when we tried to serialize this, the fixed bytecode stream, we found that object marshalling is stripped from the Dropbox version of the Python interpreter. Of course, this was done on purpose to protect the bytecode. So what we did was that we borrowed the marshalling module from another project called PyPy, which is a pure Python interpreter, and written in pure Python. And we then inject this marshalling module into the Dropbox process, and then we are able to serialize the fixed bytecode back to the disk. So in short, our method is a lot shorter, easier, and reliable than the existing ones. And it works for every version of Dropbox that we used, including 2.3.19, which is the latest as of today. At this point, we have proper fixed bytecode files. And now we need to decompile them in order to get the source code back. And for doing that, we use the excellent Uncompile2 project. It's open source. And it is super easy to use, and it works great. We were able to recover all the source code of the Dropbox client. After reading through the recovered source code, we found some interesting things, and I'll talk about them now. The most important thing I want to talk about is host ID. So host ID is like the key security item in the Dropbox world. Each Dropbox client is associated with a host ID, which is a unique persistent 128-bit value. And this host ID is generated on the server side during the client installation, and it is not affected at all by the password changes. So if you know this value, and the user keeps on changing his password, you are not affected. You can still access his Dropbox account. So earlier, host ID was stored in the clear text, and knowing this value alone was enough to hijack Dropbox account. But nowadays, it is somewhat more well protected, and there are multiple steps involved in order to steal it. Also, another value known as host int is involved in the authentication process. It is possible to extract the host ID value from the encrypted Dropbox database, or we can simply peek into the Dropbox memory and extract it from there. Similarly, a host int can be extracted from the Dropbox memory, or it can be sniffed from the Dropbox Lansing protocol traffic. Okay, let's assume that we somehow have these values, host ID and the host int. What can we do with them? How do we gain access to the corresponding Dropbox account? So the idea is that we use the exact same mechanism that Dropbox client uses in order to auto-login the user to its website. You might be familiar with this icon and this menu option, launch Dropbox website. Okay, this is the code which Dropbox uses in order to generate the auto-login URLs. It's pretty straightforward. An attacker, as you can see, an attacker needs to know only two values, host ID and the host int, in order to generate those auto-login URLs. And once you click on the auto-login URL, you'll automatically log into the corresponding Dropbox website. Okay, as I've said earlier, host ID is stored locally in an encrypted fashion now. What about host int? We could not locate host int on the local machine. So it is natural to assume that this is received from the Dropbox server itself at some point. So the thing is, can we do the same? Can we ask the Dropbox server for this host int value in order to hijack accounts? It turns out that once we have the source code, I mean, it's easy, right? We just grep for it. This code snippet shows that in order to fetch this host ID, host int value from the server, we just need to know the corresponding host ID value. And so in short, this implies that we have again reduced the security of the entire Dropbox ecosystem to a single value, the host ID. Okay, here's something to think about. Dropbox uses SSL and it does it seriously. So how did we manage to figure out all these internal API calls? We have the source code, but I mean, reading source code can be hard. So we tried to find a more exciting way of looking at the exact API calls and the parameters and things like that. And to answer that, we again use the standard techniques, LD preload and reflective DLL injection. The idea is very simple. We find and patch all SSL objects in the Dropbox memory, and by doing so, we are then able to observe the SSL traffic. We can use the same method to steal host ID, host int, or whatever we want. Here is the code to do that. First, we get references for all the Python objects from the garbage collector, and then we probe or patch these objects interactively or in an automated fashion. And then we can steal whatever we want, like host ID or host int values. Okay, after patching these SSL objects and looking at the underlying traffic, we were able to figure out the internal API being used by Dropbox. Once we have the internal API, it is, I think, straightforward to write an open source Dropbox client. One of the more interesting things we found out was that once you can bypass the Dropbox two-factor authentication when you're using this internal API. By combining the host ID value, which we know, along with this internal API, we can gain access to all the data and to the website, even for accounts with two-factor authentication enabled. Excuse me. So in short, if you know the host ID, two-factor authentication is useless. And in short, the whole security of the Dropbox ecosystem relies on this single value, host ID. How much time do I have? Okay, it's demo time now. First, I'll show you how to decrypt the bytecode, I mean to get the source code back. Then I'll show you a demo of how to hijack accounts. Then at the end, I'll have a demo of an open source Dropbox client which we have written. Is this visible at the end, at the back? Oh, okay. So I have downloaded the latest version of Dropbox. It's right here from the Dropbox forums. We'll install it or extract it. Then, as I said earlier, I'm using the LD preload technique here. I'm loading my special shared object into the Dropbox process. So the shared object, the code in the shared object has written all the, what you call, decrypted bytecode files back to the disk. Now the next step is, of course, to decompile them, and for that we are using the uncompile2 project. This might be cut off a bit. But as you can see, we can revert almost all the source code for the Dropbox client. Next is, let's assume that you have host ID and host int values, and how do we hijack the Dropbox account from those values? Let's do that. Okay, this is the auto login URL. Oh, first, wait a second. First, I'll try to log into my Dropbox account, which has two-factor authentication enabled. Okay, guys, stop downloading movies. I think this is. So I know the password this time. Okay, we get the familiar two-factor authentication screen. Of course, we don't have this thing. We'll run the script again. It will generate an auto login URL for us. As we can see, we have successfully logged on to the target user's account. The two-factor authentication has been bypassed. Next up, I'll show a demo of the open source client which we have written. This Dropbox client is modeled after the familiar FTP command, and it's just a POC at the moment. Okay, we have logged on to the Dropbox servers, and then we can simply execute the commands, familiar commands. We can see a listing of all the files which I have, all the files which I have deleted, and things like that. I can also use the put command, again an FTP command, to upload files to the Dropbox web server. Later on this is just a proof of concept, and once we have the APIs, it is possible to build a fully featured in Dropbox client. Okay, I think this is all right, but the best part about our work is that everything is open source. Our main motivation and aim is to open up the Dropbox platform to further security analysis and research. So everything is open source. You can get all these, the paper, everything from this GitHub repository. It might be taken down soon, I don't know, so. Just fork it or whatever you do. How much time do we have? 10 minutes? Okay. These are some of the, strings we found in the Dropbox source code. I'm assuming that when they were writing the proxy stuff, they didn't have much fun. All the cursing is in this single file, so. Everyone hates proxies, I mean, so it's... Also, there is a, actually a file called Ultimate Symlink Resolver. I don't know what is so ultimate about resolving symlinks. Hard to say. Questions? So these are some of the questions I myself had, like, why don't we have an open source Dropbox client? The secret, all the secret sauce is on the server side, right? Why not just open source or at least document the client side of Dropbox? And are all these obfuscation measures helping the bottom line of the company, or are they helping the users at all? So I don't know the answers for these ones.
Hi, I'm Rick. I'm willing to comment. I think it's only helping Dropbox that they're more worried about their competitors. They're not really, they have plenty of users. They're worried about losing the users. And so, I mean, can't you imagine somebody using this to allow somebody to brand something as if it were Dropbox, but not to pay for the storage?
Yes.
So, you know, that, I think that's more the issue than the users. I, for one, would love to have an FTP-like interface to Dropbox. Mm-hmm. And since I'm a Linux user, of course, I'm not going to install their software on my machine. I'm sorry.
So I assume you are going to write one now, since I have published the API.
Well, it could change, too. Yeah. I mean, this is something I have to use once every 2 months to upload articles. And that's about it. That's all I use Dropbox for. So. Mm-hmm. And it would if it changed every 2 months, I don't know if it would be worth it or not. So for the little bit of pain of having to go through a web interface, I don't know.
Just use StarSnap.
Excuse me?
Just use StarSnap.
Okay.
It's by Colin, mm-hmm. who's a FreeBSD hacker, and it's quite secure. Dropbox, of course, is not, but... I mean, it doesn't encrypt your data and all things like that, right? But StarSnap does everything. I mean, it's not usable, but you didn't ask for usability.
Thank you.
So this auto-login bypass of two-factor auth seems like a pretty big bug on the part of the, well, maybe not bug intended, of course, but a pretty big security issue on the part of the Dropbox developers. So do you, from what you've seen, you know, do you feel like that's something that could be easily remediated, or?
That's okay. Let's go back a bit. I had to skip this slide earlier, but earlier they were logging the host ID and the host int values into the log files. So we wrote a Metasploit plugin to exploit it, but I think after talking to Dropbox, they patched it. So if they can do this stuff, I mean, it's a trade-off between usability and security. So let's assume that you are launching your Dropbox client like 3 times a day, and every time it launches, it'll show you a dialog box with the two-factor authentication thing. So users won't like it, I think. So I mean, the internal APIs could be modified to use two-factor. It's not hard, but it'll impact the usability, I think.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks. So I'd like to thank OpenWolf guys, my colleagues and friends, for their feedback and encouragement. I'd also like to thank Dropbox for being so awesome. I mean, I still use it. So then I'll also like to thank EADS guys for their work on Uncompiled 2. Hagen Fritz for showing that automated opcode mapping recovery is possible. Our source code is based on his project. And thank you all for attending.